Have any of you ever attended a very formal dining experience? And when you went in, you sat down at the table and it looks like this. And you approach it and you pull your chair up and you have so many different forks and knives and plates, and you have your napkin sitting here, and so you take your napkin, you lay it in your lap, and there's multiple glasses. I have to confess that I was sitting in a formal dining room experience like this one time, and there were about 8 or 9 of us crammed around this little round table, and it was all decorated real nice like this. And I looked at the glasses, and they kept coming around filling the glasses and with water. But now there were like 18 glasses sitting on this table with about 6 or 7 of us. And I'm thinking, okay, now which glass is mine? So I took my chances and I reached out, took a glass of water. A young lady sitting next to me, she said, that's my water. So you can embarrass yourself if you're not familiar with the setting at the table. And so, you know, there's different forks. And they tell me you're supposed to start at the outside and work your way in. And different plates. And this is actually called a charger. Doesn't this look beautiful? And it says, honored guest. I like that. Well, sometimes when we approach the Lord's table, we're a little bit unfamiliar with the elements of the Lord's table. So today, believers, we're going to approach the Lord's table. We call it communion, we call it Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about all those things today. But experiencing and partaking in the Lord's Supper is one of the most worshipful experiences that we as the church can participate in. The Lord gave us 2 ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that's why we are so careful to make sure that we get it right. That we show the reverence to it that it is due when we approach the table today. We want to make sure that we're approaching it with the right heart, in the right way, in the right manner. And it is an ordinance. It's something that we do to bring honor to Him. But each of these acts is an act of obedience, baptism, Lord's Supper. Each is an act of obedience. Each is an act of worship. So today, as we come to the Lord's table, I want us to take some time and just think about this. What God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, what He's provided for us, and what all this means. Sometimes we can get into just the habit of ritual, and we do this, we do that, we just kind of take the elements, we take the bread, we take the juice, we do all these things, and we walk away and say, well, that was nice. But today, I really want you to think about this. So I want you to open your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read a few verses in there to get us started today. First Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start reading in verse 23. Stand with me if you would in reverence to God's word. We'll read just a few verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" Let's pray. God, today, I just pray that we can stop from all the busyness of the world, the things that occupy our mind. Lord, I pray for the next few minutes, God, we can just focus on Your word, on Your Son's sacrifice. God, on Your sacrifice, given Your only Son. That today, we can remember what He did for us. What a salvation He provided for us. What a sacrifice it was. As He His body was broken and bruised. His blood was shed for us. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We think about this table and we make all kinds of preparation because we want to approach this table with wisdom. We don't want to offend the host. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We don't want to bring loss to something that has been provided here for us, and we want to take advantage of the whole thing. We want to have the entire experience when we come in because every piece on this table has a purpose. There's a reason for every piece of silverware and dish and glass and napkin, every piece on that table, there's a reason for it. So when we approach the Lord's table today, we want to understand that there's a reason for what we do. It's not just a matter of ritual. It's not just something we do to pass the time. It's not something that we do because it's what Baptists or Christians do. It's because we are approaching the Lord's table. And we're going to look back on how things were for the early church and how they reflected on things as Jesus introduced this to his disciples. So the Lord's table is a lot of things. So the first thing we want to notice, because twice he mentioned it in the text that I read a while ago, twice he mentioned it, the Lord's table is a table of remembrance. So as we come before the Lord's table today, we need to remember, the Bible said, and when he had given thanks and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Have you ever gone through your phone and looked through some of the old photos? Maybe you're going to try to clean it up or something. And so as you're sliding through the pictures, you go, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, that was so much fun. Oh, remember when the kids, when we did this together? Or remember when she was that small? Remember when he had this habit or whatever it was? We go back and we remember all those things. Kind of floods our soul a little bit. Our heart flutters a little bit as we think about all these things. Well, we gather our friends around us and we tell these stories and we think about all of this. And Jesus wanted that to be true, that when we see the broken bread and we see the cup that represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would remember what he did for us. And it brings both sorrow and joy. I mean, I think back, I was looking through some old videos not long ago, and I saw the video where my mom shared her testimony with the church that I was at literally one day before she went into eternity. So I looked at that video and I sat there and I wept and I watched it and there was joy, but yet there was sorrow as well. So when we approach the Lord's table and we remember, we should have such an overwhelming emotion of worship that we have sorrow, but also joy because what he did for us. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. The memory of what Jesus Christ did for you and me. And I think sometimes we generalize it too much because he said, oh, well, this is what Jesus did for the world. And yes, he did. But listen to me. Listen to me. He did it for every single one of us here today. He did it for our sin. He did it for the sin that we have already committed. And yet he did it for the sin that we haven't committed yet. And he forgave that sin as well. So the Lord's table is a table of remembrance, but the Lord's table is also a table of obedience. Verse 24, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As I read this, and I've read this many times, but I'm reading it through it again multiple times approaching today, and I noticed he said, take, eat. And I notice that Jesus doesn't offer it. You know what we do as a host sometimes? We sit down at the table and we'll take the bread when it is passed or mashed potatoes or gravy, whatever else. And we'll look at someone around the table. Would you like some of this? We offer it to them. Listen, Jesus didn't do that. I find it very interesting that he's sitting with those, his disciples, his people, and he's sitting there with them and he doesn't ask them to take it. He said, here. Take it. And there was this act of obedience as they took it. Not even fully understanding what it meant. Not even being able to comprehend what was about to happen or what the next several hours were going to hold for them or for him, but they took it. And he stepped up as a leader because leaders lead. And he didn't ask. He didn't offer. He gave. That's what Jesus did. The Lord's table is also a table of self-examination. Verse 27 says this. We didn't read down this far, but let's go ahead and read that. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. If you want to underline something in your Bible, that's a good thing to underline. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. What's the reason of self-examination? We got to pull this into context of what Paul is saying and who he's addressing. He's addressing the church at Corinth. And as he's addressing this church, he's also addressing some of the many issues and problems that they had. And they had divisions. In fact, in verse 17, if we were to back up in the same chapter, if we back up to verse 17, he says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. See, so they, as they were approaching this time of communion, there was divisions and factions that were among them. And part of the problem was in how they did it, because the Corinthian church was known to celebrate feasts. They would love feasts. They would love these things, come together with settings like this perhaps. And they would come together in these feasts, very formal, very organized. And that would be the impression, and that would be the emphasis of what they would do. But they were gathering, and they were doing this really for personal satisfaction. That's where they were expecting to get out of it. And then they would do all this feast and this personal satisfaction, this meal, if you would. And then at the end, they would tag Jesus. At the end, they would tag a ceremony, if you would. And listen to me, the Lord's Supper is not a ceremony. Sometimes we think of it as such, but it's not a ceremony. So at the end of their party, at the end of their feast, they would get kind of serious and say, okay, now we're going to tag Jesus to this thing, and we're going to make it real. And the honesty of that whole thing is that was a little bit offensive to the Lord. And so the Corinthian church had turned this ordinance, if you would, into a ceremony, into a gluttonous, drunken party, really, is what they had turned it into. And then they would tag Jesus at the end. And even worse yet, wealthy people would come with, they would bring as a potluck all their good food and their drink, and they would sit at their table, and then sitting at another table would be somebody who didn't have any money, didn't have any food, or very little food. They paid no attention to these folks who didn't have. So they would sit there and have their big party and laugh it up and have their bit of drunkenness, if you would, and the party going on, look over, and not even notice the people had nothing. Not even acknowledge them. Not even reach out and give to them, those who had nothing. And so Paul comes along and he's bringing with him a warning as he's introducing this ordinance of the Lord's Supper to them, or bringing it back to their attention. And he says in verse 27 that they should be careful lest they be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He warns in this regard. In verse 28, he said, they eat and drink judgment to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body. Not bringing into thought the Lord's body. So when we take the bread in just a little while, and we put it in our mouths, and we bite it so we can swallow it, we're crushing it. We're destroying it. And if you would, this is what's going on. And they're not even paying attention to it. They're not even acknowledging what's going on. They were taking bread. They were taking the fruit of the vine. They were doing these things, but had no thought. Not even discerning. Not even concerning the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 30, many are weak and some are sick. Judgment was upon them for the way they were doing this. And then notice this, and some sleep. Now, this is not a reference to somebody falling asleep in a church service or falling asleep during a boring sermon. This is reference to people dying. The chastening hand of the Lord Jesus Christ of God was upon these people. And this is serious. So he says in verse 31, we should look at our hearts. Judge ourselves, lest we be judged by God's chastening hand. This was his warning to the church at Corinth. As he warned them, they should take this seriously. Now, what's the number one thought of examination that we should have? Well, the first thing we ought to be thinking about today is, have I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I been serious about my walk with the Lord? And I'm afraid that sometimes people walk into a church, they say, oh, it's the Lord's Supper. And they see it as some sort of a medicinal thing that are going to make them better. Or some people might walk in and say, well, if I do this and I do it enough, I will have eternal life with Jesus Christ. But the reality is we get it wrong. We get it backwards. Paul's warning them to do their examination before they accept the elements of the Lord's Supper. So today I would challenge you, when we get to the end of our service and we prepare to do this, as the scripture says, make your calling and election sure. He wrote in 1 John chapter 5, John did, he said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, we don't have to wonder, we don't have to think. Maybe I am, maybe I have a relationship with Jesus, maybe I will go to heaven sometimes. The scripture tells us we can know that we have eternal life. And so the challenge, the immediate challenge today is we should know that we have eternal life. You know, the great thing is we're going to offer an invitation here in just a little bit. We're going to invite you to come to know Jesus. We're going to invite you to become a part of our church even if you'd like to. But we're going to invite you. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He wants, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved. He wants to be your Savior. So we find this is a table of remembrance. We find it's a table of obedience, a table of self-examination. But it's also, we find in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that this is a table of communion. The cup of blessings, what Paul said, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Interesting word there that we have translated in our Bibles, communion. We've heard this word used a few times, koinonia. You guys might know it. We usually interpret that as fellowship often. But this is more than just, well, we're going to fellowship together. We're going to have a piece of fried chicken. We're going to shake hands. We're going to hug. We're going to be good friends. We're fellowshipping together, brother and sister in Christ. No. This is sharing. We are sharing in. Philippians chapter 3 verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, Paul said, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the powers of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to tell you that you might experience hardships. I'm not going to tell you that you might experience suffering. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to promise you that you're going to experience suffering. There is going to be persecution. The Word of God guarantees it. We can't accept the body and blood of Jesus Christ and not share in that. Our heart is broken when we see what He did. We wear crosses. We put crosses on our buildings. We put them on our heart. We have them all around us. But when we see a cross, what do you think about? When you look at that cross, what comes to your mind? Is it religion? Is it something that maybe, oh yeah, it reminds me of church? I'll tell you what the cross ought to remind you of. Oh, it ought to remind you of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the cross should remind us of. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partake of the Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." I look at our lives today and we're dressed nice. We're in a beautiful building with air conditioning, sitting on padded seats. Everything around us is very, very nice. With Christianity, everywhere we go seems to be very nice and decorated well. We sit at nice tables. We eat nice meals. And sometimes I really sit back and I say, but where is the suffering for the current day believer? How do we suffer? What kind of persecution do we experience? Well, we ought to be partaking of the communion of Jesus Christ. And finally, the Lord's table is a table of thanksgiving. The Bible says when He had given thanks. Given thanks? Now, even though the disciples didn't really know what was about to happen completely, Jesus did. He knew what was about to happen. He knew what the next few days were going to hold. He knew what the experience was going to be. He even prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But He said, "Nevertheless, my will, but your will be done." He knew what He had to do. And He gave thanks for it. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." It's a big step. Listen, as we approach the Lord's table, we need to understand that we can do this today. We can have this worship experience today because the Lord laid down His life for you and me. You know what that should lead to? That should lead to the table of testimony. The table of testimony. "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So we do this, and we're proclaiming the Lord's death. You know, when one is baptized, we tell people we're buried with Him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. We explain to people when they're being baptized that this is an act of obedience and that it doesn't save you. There's nothing magic in the water, nothing magic there at all. But what it's a declaration of the commitment you've already made in your heart to Lord Jesus Christ. And you're wanting everybody around to know this: I have identified with Jesus. I have been saved by the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to know that. That's why we have the testimony of our baptism. But today, we have the testimony of the Lord's Supper. And we identify that way. You see, when we leave this place, how can we walk out having such an experience and not tell somebody? Not explain to someone that this is what Jesus Christ did for you. So today, as we're gathering together to observe the Lord's Supper, we need to examine our hearts. We need to look at the manner in which we receive it, the heart in which we receive it. And then we need to think about it as well. What if we dishonor the table of the Lord? you know, the greatest gift anybody's ever given you or me is what Jesus Christ did for us. That's what we're about here as a church. We want St. Charles, St. Peter's, O'Fallon. We want all the communities in and around us to understand that the reason we gather here on Sunday mornings, the reason we do the things that seem very odd to them, almost as odd as sitting at a table that you're not accustomed to sitting at, we do all this because of what Jesus did for us. We want to worship Him. We want to honor Him. We want to bless Him. We want to remember Him. So today, we're going to offer an invitation. You know why? Because we want to accept Him. If you're sitting looking at all this today and say, well, I'm kind of new to all this and I don't understand it. And I thought, well, I'm supposed to go to church and I'm supposed to take of the Lord's Supper. And that's a ritual that I'm supposed to experience and it's important to me. Listen to me. The first thing you need to do before you ever approach this table is establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, let them pass by you today. Just let them pass by. And I want you to come talk to me or Tim or Pastor Buddy or David. Let us talk to you about your relationship with Jesus. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to just kind of take a moment and soak it in. Think about what we're about to experience here today. And let's pray. God, we stand before you right now. Lord, our hearts are bowed. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are open. God, I pray that you help us to experience true worship today as we celebrate. Lord, that's even hard to say. As we celebrate your Son's death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, we celebrate that. God, let it get personal in our hearts today. Let it get real with us. Lord, as we remember what He did for us, Lord, help us to give you the best. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, God, I pray that today they won't walk out of here without a relationship with Jesus. Lord, if there's something in our hearts that shouldn't be there, Lord, some unconfessed sin, an act of disobedience in our life, Lord, that stands between us and you, God, not salvation, Lord, but just that relationship, hurting it and haunting it. And I pray that today we can make that right. We can make it right before we approach the Lord's table. Lord, like we wash our hands before we sit down at a fine dinner table, we clean our hearts before we sit down before you. Lord, help us do that today. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.